I said, my name is Christopher Alan Baxter, known as Chris Baxter. I now work for myself. I have a small boutique where I do financial advisory and investment work, typically investing in companies that I've found within my network where I like the product and I like the people, and I bring my skill set as well as some capital into the situation.
Okay, so what is the current solution for refugees in war-torn countries, and why is the HOMAS solution better?
Well, the current solution, I think people are probably generally aware of. It's a bit sort of chaotic all over the place, right? You see refugees of various kinds, you know, being temporarily housed in hotels or in people's homes with some kind of government subsidy schemes. All of these things are a little bit temporary and a little bit undignified, and in the long run, not good for either the people, the host country, or in some of the cases where individuals are taking people into their houses, not sort of long-term solutions as far as they're concerned either. So that's the existing situation. The HOMAS solution is to provide very affordable modular housing structures and homes, and I think what is compelling about the design of these these homes is that, first of all, they're very affordable. Secondly, they can be produced in large numbers very quickly. Thirdly, it's a turnkey solution, so it comes, you know, together with all the necessary furniture and fittings. And fourthly, perhaps most importantly, the homes can be assembled and disassembled quite quickly. And what this means is that there's two benefits to that, I think. From a planning approval point of view, in places like the UK, where it's typically a long, slow bureaucratic process, one would hope that these things could be accelerated because everybody recognizes the need, and perhaps the fact that people in the neighborhood would say, well, look, this is a temporary solution, and therefore, you know, we can be more charitable, we can be more open-minded, we don't have to have the not in my backyard kind of attitude, because when there is a peaceful resolution, for example, in the Ukrainian situation back home, the beauty of this approach is that these homes can be disassembled and the people can return home with the houses. And of course, this then means that you can also, you know, repopulate and rebuild society very quickly in the wake in the aftermath of the war, which is going to be the next stage challenge, right?
Once these have been put up, then they've been bought, how long do they last?
Actually, the design is extremely strong and robust. It's a high quality at its core, really. So each module, it's a kind of almost like a Lego kind of concept. So each module is 3 meters by 3 meters. It's a galvanized steel frame. And actually, you don't need to move it. It could stay in place for 20, 30 years without major maintenance or repair. The build quality is no less than a normal permanent dwelling.
You say that, I'm looking at this little press release, launching its products across the UK. What's the use of this in the UK?
Well, I think two, actually. If you have a look at our website, you'll see that we divide the product concept into lifestyle and social housing, right? And those are two sort of slightly different markets. So for people who have money and have property and want some kind of a second home, which is very comfortable to live in, quite stylish, I would say, that's kind of what we call the lifestyle option. The social housing option is designed more for governments and charities to think about buying large numbers of relatively small houses that can alleviate the kind of crises that we've been talking about, rapidly and in scale. And of course, the beauty of having both of these products in the same business is that, there's a lot of technology transfer. There's a lot of a synergy, if you like, between the two. The quality is actually exactly the same. There's no sort of second-class citizens, I would say, in that respect. So that's those are two distinct markets in the UK. But actually, you can even see that there could be a business market for the social housing product as well, because, you know, quite an interesting market is what people call glamping, where the sort of previous concept of camping is being upgraded so that campsites are putting, you know, more comfortable accommodation onto their plots. And that's turning to be quite an attractive business, both here and in Europe, actually. And the reason for that, I think, is in this period of kind of quite high inflation and the cost of living crisis, people still want to go on holiday and have a good time. They still want to be with their friends. They want to be near the beach. They want to be able to go to restaurants. But how do you make that all work when the pound in your pocket is not going quite as far as it used to? And one way of making that work is to say, well, I'll spend a bit less on the hotel and go to a glamp site and still have just as much of a good time.
One of the things the press releases talks about is young first-time buyers and homeowners wanting second properties. Can these be an investment? Because housing is supposed to be an investment, especially for young people looking to get on the housing ladder. The government talks about a housing-led recovery from COVID. And if these are lasting 20, 30 years and are built to be put up and taken down again, surely these aren't going to be that strong an investment.
No, I think the opposite, actually. I think they're an extraordinarily good investment and a much more flexible investment than traditional bricks and mortar property. Because again, to repeat, there's no reason why they can't stay in place actually for 100 years, frankly. So in that sense, they're not inferior, but they're much more flexible. So if you had if you bought a plot of land and you had, you know, a relatively modest amount of money to begin with, you might just put up a 2 or 3 module house. But then a few years down the road, you might have a bit more money, or your mortgage situation might be more, might have improved, and you can borrow a bit. And then you have a few options. You can add extra modules to actually make the house larger, or you could take the house down, sell it. There should be a secondhand market for these kind of units, just as there's a secondhand car market. We expect that to become a large liquid market over time. And then you keep your land and you build something else on it, right? So, or you could sell the land and keep your house and take the house somewhere else. So you start to see how there can be a disaggregation of land ownership and property ownership, the benefit of which should be both markets are more liquid and as a result, better valued.
Could you tell us a bit about what's going to happen on Sunday?
I can tell you what's going to happen on Sunday. So I think it's fair to say that I am, myself and my wife are walking the walk, if you like, of this concept, because we're actually doing a renovation of our property in London. Our property in Surrey, I beg your pardon, which this house is 120 years old. We've been living in it for 25 years. It had a pretty bad winter. All the pipes cracked. And when we got the builders in, they said, you need a completely new plumbing system. And while you're about it, you probably need a new roof. And we were like, OK, well, we're going to have to vacate the property. We might as well do some other fairly significant upgrades. And we need somewhere to live. And then we came up with this idea. Well, why don't we buy one of these houses, put it in our garden, and this can be our accommodation during the renovation. And it's a very good solution from both an economic point of view and a convenience point of view. We will be investing in an asset rather than spending a year of dead money on rent. We will be on site, so we can keep an eye on the renovation, and we still have access to our garden and our much loved tennis court, and so on. So from a convenience point of view, it's ticking a lot of boxes. And then at the end of the year, we should be able to sell this house to somebody else who has a similar kind of requirement. So that's another market. And to come back to your question, Sunday, therefore, is all about using the fact that we've built this property in our garden to have an exhibition event, have a lot of industry people, politicians, people who are passionate about the Ukraine crisis that this business was originally inspired to address, all coming to a garden party on Sunday to sort of see the property in all of its glory. And actually, we're blessed in the fact that we have some very young, talented Ukrainian musicians who have already been featured, actually, in the British press because of their talent, and have both achieved bursaries at London Music Schools, who will be playing as part of our Sunday afternoon activity.
That sounds excellent. Thank you very much for speaking to me. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I think that's great. Thank you. I think they were great questions, and I think we've covered the points that I wanted to cover, so I appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for speaking to me. I hope Sunday goes well.
So do I. Nice meeting you.